Hello, thank you for joining us. We're here in our new life educational series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Dr. Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazuz. And we want to learn along with you, with Rav Lyman, how to build our lives here in Israel like one big family where everyone will feel that the people around him are looking after him, they love him, and only want for his good. We all want to live in such a society, but behind this slogan, we need to see what it means to live in such a society in all aspects of life. And in the discussions here in the studio, we're trying to look at each aspect of our lives and understand what happens when we all live as one big family, not just for fun, but to really develop new feelings of connection, of love, of warmth, of connection inside us. And our subject today is leadership and governance. Nitza, please, opening remarks. We want to remember the different types of governance that the Jewish people had throughout history, throughout the generations. We see that there's many different types. There were the prophets, the judges, the leaders, the king, royalty. There was individuals. There were groups. There were all different kinds. And we want to see the difference between this, between them. So let's look at the sentence that the people said to King Solomon, and they demanded of him, give us a king to be a judge to us, to all the Gentiles. At that time, it's important to note that the tribes, each tribe looked after themselves. And then when they started to feel an external threat, they paid attention. They noticed that they need to have a king governing over everyone to give them bravery, confidence. At that time, the subject of confidence toward external enemies was even stronger than attributes of humility and big hearts. There was a great desire for something that would protect them. And that was the request. So what is a king? What's the difference between a king and a leader? And how does this connect to the subject of security? It really was a period in which the people needed great corrections. Because altogether, why was there an external threat? Because they were not united inside. We need to understand that we're actually in integral laws of nature, that if we are similar to nature in a round manner, that everything happens inside the nation and then we're matched with the general law of nature, then in that we're protecting ourselves in the best possible manner. We see that it's not through heroism or wisdom or threats or cheating. At the end of the day, you can't succeed. But rather, in nature, there's laws that we're not really capable of absorbing, that are quite clear. And they're open to everyone, this aspect of connecting and participating and completion and complementing one another and mutual concern. And a person's ego is disrupting this viewpoint, disrupting this ability to view things properly, to see this general law of nature, which is, I don't know how to put it. It's an integral law, the connection between all the parts of nature. And if human society or the people is in accordance with it, it is actually its destiny. It's inviting from all of nature some protective force that lives and exists in a correct and good manner. There's some general force operating on the world and pulling all of reality to go back to its root of connecting to one system. If a leader understands it and feels this, then this is how he manages the people. If he can't see it, then he tries to do it through heroism. heroicness. If he can't do it with his brain, then with his army, with those forces. And here we see that there was a period that was truly a bad period, a great distance between the tribes, concern only for each one for himself. And there was unity inside the tribe, but only inside the tribe, meaning it's like a family, that I'm concerned for my brothers. It's like the Bedouins, that there's a tribe here, a tribe there, etc. And they have conflicts and wars between them. So in this manner, it's impossible to approach some more general connection. And we need to understand that the general nature, we see that evolution exists, that there's some law pushing us all forward to some type of general type of development. And this format, at the end of the day, is to teach people that they must connect and that they must accept this law as a necessity, and also they must desire it consciously. So there's from the side of nature, there's two forces operating here, plus, minus, north, south, etc., light, darkness. And these two forces operating on human society, that on the one hand, heroicness, and on the other hand, sympathy. And this is to teach a person through these two forces to build himself and society and the entire world in the middle line. The combination of these two forces, plus and minus, you can call them, depends to at what level, maybe the electron, positron level, the atom level, or at the level of plus minus forces, attraction, pressure, heat, coolness, etc., or at a level that exists in bodies of vegetative, living, biological level, or at human society where these laws already exist in the relations between people. But it's the same laws. It just depends at what level. Psychologically, we're working with the same levels, like physics, chemistry, and geology. We need to understand them and see what their goal is. Their goal is that we'll see that every creature, if its inner forces are in balance, it feels peace. And if not, if he disrupts the balance between these two forces, then in accordance with that, an opposite force arises, and to maintain the balance, it comes in. And this is how everything takes place. But in human society, we need to decide for ourselves. It's not pressure in one place and lack of pleasure in another place, so there's wind balancing them, or heating and coolness. It's like in nature. But here, we're in the middle, and whoever feels the gap between the pressures is the person. And the person has free choice how to balance out these forces. How I behave with nature, I can balance these forces that are operating on me. And in this manner, it works out that it's worth it for us to learn this integral law, how to each time maintain the balance, and then we'll all feel good. We won't waste energy on wars, conflict. We won't just be dispersing our forces to unlimited love, but everything will be in balance. That's the middle line. It's the golden path. And apart from that, we need to take into account that we're developing each time. And in this development, even though we achieve something, It's always being broken. It's always getting into imbalance again and again, and we have to balance ourselves again like a person, that each time he has to be concerned and concerned and concerned to that same new format of his life. So it turns out that from them not being connected enough, but only inside their tribes, and the historic time came to unite the tribes, and they didn't deal with this enough themselves, then this external force came to obligate them to do it, to connect. And they hate their enemies, and enemies start coming to their borders and backing them, and they understand that they need to make some contract between them. And according to the new connection, they need to have strength to oppose the enemy. So the people at the same time, they understand that they're divided. They understand that they're weak, that they can fall into slavery. And then they ask for a king to be like all the Gentiles, because the people don't understand that it's possible that there has to be a king, not as all the Gentiles, but that there has to be a king of Israel, king of Israel that brings him to unity, to the inner connection, and to not be heroic and fight with the neighbors. And it just shows how much the people were educated not properly, not according to Israel laws, love thy neighbor as thyself. So what's the difference between a king of Israel and a king in other places? That in the other places, he stands on his heroicness and his capability to attack. He controls the people and tries to expand his control over the neighbors, over his neighbors. And Israel, they were never themselves. They never used to come to fight, but only on the condition that they had to conquer that same land of Canaan. And they did it. But after they settled, they made laws of peace with their neighbors, and they lived in peace, in tranquility. We see that the first government in history Moses made in the desert. Moses reached a situation where he's complaining to God, and he's with the people in the Sinai, and he says to God, I can't do it by myself, I can't carry this whole people. And then God commands him to gather 70 people from the elderly of Israel and make them into some type of leadership. What was the idea behind this? Why did God say to Moses, gather 70 of the elderly of Israel and make them into some kind of body of leadership? The wise person at a level like Moses is understands the general law of nature, understands this whole integral system, how it operates, and from there understands how much people have to be, the people have to be arranged in accordance with that. And therefore, this is what they're founding, the 70 wise ones, the elderly, that will be next to him, and they'll help him all together. They'll help him govern the people. It's from studying what we say today also, from us researching nature. In that, we're reaching the knowledge, what we need to do to be in balance with nature. You can say that we need to be in balance with God, And in that we're reaching peace and tranquility. And Moses did this precisely 70, and what people, according to what attributes, it's all according to what he saw, and those people saw that truly this is what they need to do. It's a very special governance that the balance between these 70 people, they find that same special force, let's say the collective intelligence, what they call nowadays, through which they can lead the people. The attributes that stood out in those people were like this. He said to them, you'll find military people, people who fear God, people of truth, and who hate greed. What are these attributes that are the leading attributes? These are the main attributes in the main system, the main structure. What do you mean military people? People that can deal with their ego, that can be above their ego and look after the people more than themselves. Army people, love thy neighbor as thyself, meaning more than yourself, because now I love myself more than everyone else. So in this manner, I have to love everyone more than myself, the opposite. Those are army people. Next, fear of God. It means that the general nature that we're in is dictating to me in what form we need to live. And I'm always concerned how to reach balance, equality with that same general nature, that law of mutuality, of completion, for us all to be in an analog integral system, that we're all equal and that we're all mutually concerned like cells in a body, that each cell doesn't think of itself, but how they can supply the entire body needs that the body needs from it. Onward. People of truth, meaning that the judgment that we do will include in it the power, the force of the heroicness and sympathy together. Between them, there will be a combination of truth. Why? Because the power of force kills. But the force of sympathy is from Aleph, because that's where Avram started with compassion. And Mem, in the word truth, it's the middle. It allows you to balance these two forces, compassion and judgment. And in that way, from this attribute, you'll be able to also be limited and also be developing. It's like anything that gives birth, like a womb. It also limits itself, but by limiting itself, it looks after the fetus and supplies the fetus with everything, but in a way, in a measured and calculated manner toward what needs to be. That's the truth. Truth is not what I feel like on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's for my own good. Truth is some point of balance in the middle between sympathy and heroicness and hating greed. They're talking about the desire to receive, that great desire to receive that's always burning inside, that's called the evil inclination, that we make sure that it doesn't lie to us. And that it won't trick us. We have to make sure we have an environment. That's why Moses makes for himself at the beginning of his way. He makes smart students, priests, Levites, that this whole entourage, not that it will carry out his commandments, but rather that it will protect him, that he won't get out of the structure of truth and seeing the truth, and that the middle line will be maintained for sure, because the environment that he's founding will always educate him himself as well. According to the law that I got smart from all my students, even though they're his students and he's the leader, they themselves show him what he has to be. You're protecting him so that all his attributes and characteristics will be maintained. It's like you can say, if kids develop, the parents see how much they're missing themselves, the correct attributes to convey them to the kids so that it will really be for their own good, for their good direction. So also a parents' behavior toward the children and next to the kids is different than they have, than how they behave just on a daily basis. The kids educate the parents. The students help a teacher hold himself and behave better, perform better. So another important subject he spoke of, he took six representatives from each tribe. He gathered from each and every tribe. He took a representative, and each tribe represented had six representatives and the 70 people. What's the idea here that they took representatives from each tribe? 12 tribes, if they're all connected, they represent the head of the whole world. That is divided into those same four attributes, like we spoke of before, and each attribute is divided to left and right forces, heroicness and compassion, and the middle line of truth between them, the golden path. And therefore, it's 12, 3 times 4. He receives from each and every one of them six attributes, which are Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Nisod, special attributes. Can you explain it in simple words? Let's say, in each of us, there are attributes, different attributes in our behavior that are a result of different attributes in our genes. That this is how each and every one expresses his love in a different way to the other. You mean it's different expressions of love? Yes. And this attitude is, connects, comes together to this whole gathering. And this is how Moses puts this group together, this group of leaders. When I looked at this concept, I saw it's a smart thing. Each tribe has their own needs, their own desires, their own character. And then his their leaders in this hall, they look after, they maintain not just the interest, but the, this is how we're used to putting it. I'm sorry, but the leaders, they're concerned with how they can complete from their tribe, complete the whole nation, that the whole nation will be one integral system. They're not thinking, I'm sending like to the Knesset like we send today to look after our interests, but just the opposite. It's the opposite from all the regular governance that we look after. We're concerned with how we can influence the people and complete everyone into one circle. This is a very important point. I'm not sure that we really understand it. We're used to today, we're used to thinking, hang on a second, I don't think so. According to the ideal situation, what do we think? What did we think at the founding of the country? Some 60 years ago, what did we think? That there would be representatives of all the people, that they would bring their concerns and deficiencies from each and every part of the nation, and they would all know how much they could be in perfection between them so that everyone would be well off and no one would be missing anything and there would be no injustice. But at the end of the day, everyone would be part of the nation, and not that each person makes some group, opportunistic group that pulls in its direction and they don't care about anything else. And then they scream also. Sometimes when I see how they're screaming in the Knesset from the speech where they go up to speech to speak, they scream, "Where am I? And why didn't I get this? And why didn't I get that?" The attitude is destructive, and it's from a lack of education. You mean the correct attitude? How can I demand for myself, and how can a representative of the people demand for the interests of the group that he's representing? He needs to come in a different way altogether. He needs to think, how can we help the nation? And this is how every representative has to express his abilities. And then we'll have completion and peace, and then we'll reach a state of thriving. But who will look after their interests? Just the fact that you're making up one body, and not that each part of the system is divided and cut off and not working in harmony together. And just in that, everyone will have everything. There will be connection. And what do you see from them tearing the country up into pieces? What do you see out of it? Well, what good results are there? Everyone hates everyone, the upper, the lower, these with those. Everyone's only interested in their own things. Thank God, today I have 20 representatives of my own. We have to do something. It's all happening in a non-integral manner. That's why it's all coming apart. It doesn't exist. It's not worth anything, and no country is successful. So when each tribe would send six people, he doesn't need them to look after him. So what did he send them for? They should stay home. Why did I send six representatives? To make out of them a special whole team. From who? From all these representatives. From my six or all of them together? All of them together. They'll all connect, and they'll bring the system of connecting to all the tribes, and then these tribes will connect. That we're connected like all parts of the body. That we're connected to the mind, to the heart, connected to the important parts inside the body. Moses didn't give representation to every tribe for nothing. Otherwise, you're not in the system. This is the form of the correct connection, also in our body. I'm repeating it. Learn from nature what happens. And nature, at our degree, is a person's body. You have lots of pieces, important pieces. The heart, the liver, the brain, the kidneys, etc., etc. They're all working in a completely different manner than others. They're doing a completely different job. Can you compare the heart with the stomach, the kidneys with the heart? There's a connection, though, between them for the good of the whole body. Shalom is in Hashlama, completion, for toward the whole body being in balance. The level of balance is the level of health. The pressures, blood pressure, sugar, what does it mean that the body's not healthy? How do we restore balance? restore it to nature. So in this government that Moses has, that each tribe has six representatives, that all these representatives, first and foremost, they're representatives of each and every tribe. Now they have to get into connection between them, this mutual whole connection where they protect themselves. They are representing that same tribe, that same group. But when they come now, they're not all erasing their foundation where they came from, just the opposite. They're representatives. They're the ones that stand out the most. And they're all together. Each one is very different than the other. They're sitting around the round table, and they all are discussing how we will connect ourselves together for the sake of the people. That is not 12 tribes, but that will be one people. And the 12 tribes are there. Each heart continues to be a heart, and a liver continues to be a liver, but each one is already working for the sake of the nation. In this dynamic of this system, at what stage do the representatives, let's say I'm a tribe and I send you to be a representative there, at what stage do we come to this public gathering? At what place do I come with the needs, the demands of my tribe? I feel that I was sure that this word demands would bring you to a bad place. I don't have any more needs except to bring everyone into an integral system. And that way we'll have peace for everyone. If I sit them down around the table and they won't be concerned with the general system, this connection between them, no one will be good, will be better off. They need to look after the general system, and from there, everyone will be able to receive what they need. If the body is healthy, then all the system, subsystems will feel good. So there's a trick here. Every tribe sends its representatives. I have to go through the connection. Therefore, they come and together. So each tribe sends their representatives, and apparently with their private needs, they come to this general assembly to Moses, and he does a trick. He says, first of all, put your private needs aside. First of all, no, you'll get everything you need, but know that we can only do it through connecting. So to fill the needs and fill the needs of every tribe, it's a result and not the starting point, because you can never get the right synchronization between them to work as one body. There has to be a correction here of the person, of people, the teams, representatives to rise above themselves for the sake of unity, because the unity has to be first to their personal, before their personal needs. Otherwise, they're not representatives. The people can think for themselves. A representative can't. Moses, as the leader of this entire government, he's sort of the one that knows how to balance things out and raise all the representatives above their personal interests to build this round single system. His job is to accept everyone and educate everyone. What does it mean to educate everyone? All these representatives, let's say, to educate around the round table, to teach them, to explain to them what they need to do, etc. And he's speaking from the integral law, from God, from nature, that we have no choice. People, we have to reach connection. He's like taking them out, each one out of their private place, to this round place. This is why he brought them together. First of all, he's bringing them the integral education. Yes. That without connection, if we don't have one body that's balanced, no one will profit. And if one of the representatives falls into his small personal needs and doesn't see anything else, then the others will help him. How? They'll see how he's behaving. The general mutual concern has to be above everything else. Are you concerned with the mutual interest, which is we're all connected. Everyone's concerned with the general standard that everyone has everything equal. But looking after everyone is like looking after no one. No, that's not true. I came from this tribe. We have this and this problems. We need this and this. We're looking after everyone. Don't bring your interests. I don't know what to say to you. You came from a tribe, a certain tribe X. You want peace? We're missing this and this and this. I'm not talking about what you're missing. You want peace? What's peace? I don't know. Why are we coming together? We're missing something, right? I'm missing 1, 2, 3. You're not feeling well, right? Good. So you came to receive something? Great. How much sheep do you have? How many cows? How many things do you have? Great. Now we're putting everything together, and everyone will receive according to what his tribe needs. You mean to balance it all out? It's as if I understood you're doing the opposite. If we're used to usually saying what I'm missing, you're saying, hang on, before you see what you're missing, let's see what we have. Integral means, do you know what integral means in math? It means that there's lots of little squares, and you put the squares together, and from them you get some round format shape. The squares are really, really tiny. They're almost not squares. It could always be any shape. And you connect them, and you get one space that is like a collection of all these little squares, the squares we can count how many there are, and according to that we can say how much power there is in the connection between these squares, because this is what's happening. And from this integral connection, each tribe what it needs, now we're dividing it according to what? According to the number of people, men, kids, disabled. I'm relating to, afterward, I can relate to the needs of each and every one of them. That's it. In education, culture, food, clothing, and everything, this is how the people have to, the nation has to act. And this is how they have to behave in the tribes as well. But in there's a natural connection, like a family. That's how it happens. That's where nature brings people a feeling of intimacy. And between the tribes, there's a feeling of distance. And there we have to learn these laws. And between the nations, if we're talking, we see what's happening. We're going to need to learn. I want to explain what's felt. There's like a circle. We're coming around the table, first of all, to connect. We don't have any other goal. It's clear to us that without connection, the people around us will eat us. It could be nature, ecology, it can be our enemies, neighbors, etc. Hang on a sec. Let's say there's 12 tribes around the table, and now they came. From their perspective, they didn't come at the beginning. They didn't understand that they're coming to unite. They're coming to demand. No, let's say, okay. Each one is coming with their deficiency. So we need to teach them, first of all. We need to educate them. So how do we educate them to take their deficiency here, but to first of all come with what I have to give? First of all, I give them a little film, I'm just saying that it won't help, some little clip. They need to understand that through my study, how I present things, the education that they're going through, that without connection, there won't be from anywhere to take what we need. We're missing, let's say the country's missing money, strength, wisdom. Where are we going to take this? We only have one option. We don't have anything that we can solve here. We're reaching a state of crisis. We're bankrupt. What's a crisis? Bankruptcy. The whole country is in bankruptcy. We're not capable of managing ourselves. And apart from that, we're in a dangerous situation at our borders, etc. What do we need to do? There's a very, very special law of the general nature, and this law says whoever is in balance with nature, who is integrated in nature as an integral part of it, is in the most secure place. You mean from an ecological point of view, from a social point of view, from all the point of views? What do you mean from a social point of view? That the society will be homogeneous, that it'll be equal, mutual, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's in balance with nature. You mean between it and itself? I don't understand. Yes. So balance, that's the key. We need to bring ourselves to that. That all the representatives of the tribes understand. And we begin the connection between us. What does each representative bring to the center of this circle? What does he bring with him? So that with this, they'll be able to connect. After the education, all the deficiencies that he brings, he says, I have the ability to add to the common table. I'm prepared to give this. I'm prepared to give this. And how much we can connect with this and this, each person in his own way, and then we reach completion. And then through this completion, we can reach this general law of nature, and then we'll see that everyone has everything they need. It's like a miracle. Let's check it. That everyone has everything. That all our laws are that everyone's taking what they more than they need. If we think about others, everyone has what they need. It's a wonder. What goes on with our ego, but there's no choice. We're going to have to learn how to do this. So the Sanhedrin, at the time of the Second Temple, it was also built in a group of elderly, 70 people, and they existed for a few years. It was at the time of the kingdom of Judah, and it was the highest religious governing body. They determine everything. And here it also says about them that they were the eyes of the congregation. That's how they chose the elderly. The people that sat there, they represented this great assembly, and they had the authorities. What does it mean that they were like the eyes, that they would see ahead? What's supposed to happen? And in accordance with that, they educated the people. That I educate a child at the age of 5, I don't think how he'll be smart. I think how he'll use it in the future for life. That's what the eyes of the people are called. What did they see? They saw where to bring the people, where how to educate it. Only according to the method of Abraham that exists throughout all the generations. That's the condition. He took it from nature. He saw the stars. He saw everything. He saw the general law of all of reality is precisely the law of love and not hatred that Nimrod thought next to him. And then they were like two opposite forces. And then there was no choice for Abraham but to disconnect from there. So the Sanhedrin, when they say that they were the eyes of the congregation, They saw the world ahead, and they saw what was necessary to implement in the people, how to direct the whole society toward connection and love. When they chose the Sanhedrin, if today I wanted to choose a Sanhedrin, how would I choose them? There's all kinds of, how do we know he's worthy of being part of a staff that will be the compass that will direct everyone toward connection and love? Only according to the wise of the hearts, it's called. According to their hearts, they would choose them. Maybe you'll explain. A person's desire is whole being and internalness. All of creation is a desire to enjoy, a desire to absorb, to profit, to succeed. A wise one who sees what's coming, his desire is in balance with what he sees, not with a narrow eye, but with a good eye. And therefore, he's a wise one, because his eyes are in his head. He sees the future. What is the future? What his desire can lead him to, and then he can correct it to reach the good situations and not the bad situations. It's like a little child. He wants to grab it. They say, it's not good for you. Don't do it because we see a step ahead. No, no, I want to. I have to. So we stop him. We don't allow him to do that. A big person, it's hard for them to do that, and it's also not a correction. Correction is to educate him that they'll also see a step ahead than what's so close to them. How do we do this? Through integral education. According to what is a person worthy of being in the Sanhedrin, the condition that they have, that they're far-sighted, beyond their ego. That's called far. What do you mean further than their ego? That means that if my ego is here, that I want this water, I want it. But after that, I see that I will feel bad afterwards. So that stops me. That's called being farsighted. For the next step, I see the results. Now, when they were together, this team, what's a wise person? A person who sees what's coming. So a person who has a more distant sight than his ego. So that when they chose the 71 people, they would choose from the people, the 71 people that had this ability to be farsighted, that from the beginning they have two forces. What two forces? And they're relatively balanced. What two forces? You said they were farsighted beyond their ego. Farsighted is one thing, but to see ahead, you have to have a strong desire. What desire? An egoistic, cruel desire. Oh, they were egoistic in the Sanhedrin? Yes, of course. And along with that, they knew how to limit their cruel forces and to see ahead in a good manner, to see what's good for the other. I'm a wise person. I can cheat everyone. I can turn everyone around my little pinky. I'm not short of wisdom. I'm not short of cheating, tricks. What does it mean that I see what's coming? It means that I see in this manner. I can use this because all of nature is integral. It will only succeed if we're all connected. So how can I trick them around the people? It's like I'm tricking my own children to bring them to a good situation. I understand their soul, that it's entirely egoistic, but I'm twirling them around in such a way that they're going happily to learn something against the ego. And suddenly they see that the one profiting is whoever does the opposite of his nature. That is what's called a person that can be a leader, a representative, of some community or tribe. It's a very big power, very cruel inside, but at the same time, great wisdom to use it in the right direction. That is a man, a person. Otherwise, it's not a person. It's just a rag. I don't know how to put it. There's an example that we may be able to use, the example of Yerovam ben Nevat. It said that his wisdom was almost like the same as King Solomon's, but because he fell to the place of self-concern, he wanted to control, then at the end of the day, he caused the separation, this great separation, and that's where everything came apart. That same force, that same wisdom, that ego that you called it, if I implement it at the end of the day, I'm destroying everything and myself as part of it. That's actually the significance. And when I have eyes and see ahead, I'm capable of understanding that if I implement that same urge at the moment, then I'm causing this damage, yes. And then I rise above it, actually. That's the idea. I would like to speak about another aspect in the Sanhedrin. There was a president. The head of the Sanhedrin, tell us a bit about him. Who's this person? We understood that there's 70 people who were the most egoistic and the trickiest, but they understood that that wouldn't bring them to a good place, and they actually used this force in a balanced way, and they can bring the people to connection and love. And at the head of them is the president. What quality does he have? What does he do? He unites everyone. He sees more than everyone. He knows how to consult with everyone. To rest on everyone, to lean on everyone, to be integrated in everyone. Everything is toward connection. He's connecting everyone inside of him. He's obligating everyone to be connected between them. And that's why the center, where he's the president, is not above them, but is more central than them. The calculation is in that he succeeds to be more connected than everyone. That's the president. And he knows how to maintain himself in such a manner through everyone's desire. And this is how this entire system behaves. When you spoke about more central, I all of a sudden, he's the center of the circle, and not like at a pyramid where he's at the top. He's also at the top, and he's also in the circle because there's a combination of forces here. But everyone reach the circle, the center. How do we know with a leader when he needs to be stubborn and when he needs to be soft, when he needs to be harsh and when he needs to be soft? How do we need to use these two aspects? That's the wisdom that he has that's made up of all his students or the people. The people are also his students also. If the main thing is the integral education, then that's what you can call them. If he can feel them, integrate them, and understand what's happening at each and every moment, to what extent he needs to give them a little bit more advancement in education and connection, that's a leader. We saw that there were leaders that because they were so tough, their hearts, they caused destruction. What is actually this toughness of heart compared to openness of the heart? I don't know if it's there's like this and like that. We're talking about the stages of development of humanity, which behaves in the incorrect manner and needs to take a lot of blows. And it's a type of correction that's coming into it, and throughout the generations it's reaching wisdom and etc. There are periods. Also, the people of Israel are not completely wise and good. And just the opposite. It has a history, a very special destiny. Therefore, it has to go through situations that are so dramatic. I think that today we've reached a situation where it's worth it for us truly. We've been lucky to find our place in the people in preparation for it. So we need to renew inside us that same approach. Otherwise, we won't be the people of Israel, we won't be in Israel, and we'll just be some reflection from England, Turkey, according to some mandate. And our culture is not a fooling around on TV and gossip, but rather we need to understand that our existence is dependent only on connection. When we talk about leadership, it's impossible not to talk about fraud. We see that lots of the leaders have taken advantage of their situation. There's a lot of if a person is rotten, but if a leader is, then he's leading us all to some bad place. How can we stay away from all that bribery? And we need to bring the whole system to a state of transparency. There can't be a situation where they decide something between them. Let's raise salaries, boom, and they do it. Let's do these things for us ourselves, and we'll be happy. We'll all get a bonus, and we're happy. They're happy that they reach the treasury, and then they can divide things the way they want between them. Because if I don't give you, then you won't give me. And they reach a place where they start going wild. If everything's transparent and it's clear to the people, the problem is that the people don't have any power in this. After you choose the government, you're left with no power of bestowal. Now they voted a majority of votes for a certain percentage that they need, and that's it. What are you going to do? You can start screaming, the media, they're also bought. It's all bought. So what can you do? Nothing. And how do you know that you're also right if, say, you stand up and they're not right? We're in the dark. We're in the lack of correct education in a broken system, and only the general education can come and begin the correction. We're almost finished the discussion. I want to ask one last question because we're out of time. If we conclude this whole subject of governance and leadership, and we want to look at a new horizon for Israeli society to be as one family, what do we need to highlight for our leadership? One sentence to conclude. As conclusion, we need to come to the Knesset, to the Assembly of Israel, and all the government offices throughout Israel, and educate them with the integral education. That will be like the big Knesset, the Sanhedrin, those same wise ones of Moses that Moses brought to himself as students. We need to create a healthy head And from there, everything will trickle down. It's impossible that the Knesset is made up of different interests like the rest of the world, and that we are existing like this. The people of Israel cannot exist like this throughout time. It's just temporary in the meantime like this, and it has no chance of succeeding in the future if we don't change. And a healthy head is what? What's a healthy head? A healthy head is all the Knesset members, the whole government that learns the integral education and begins to implement it as it is according to the laws of nature, because only according to the laws of nature, in accordance with nature, can we exist. It will be accepted on the secular and the religious because nature and God are one and the same. Thank you, Rev Lightman. Our time is up. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for joining us. A healthy head, and we'll be healthy. Until next time, new life. All the best.